Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, brought to you by Through the Sword and the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from ThroughTheSword.com and The Step Back. Today's show is going to catch you up on a busy day of Cavs news in terms of Isaiah Thomas talking to Woj. The Cavs reportedly lowering their asking price for the Celtics and some information on what could be next for the stadium drama in terms of the Q renovation. First, just quick explanation. We're supposed to have that mailbag yesterday. It is up on Facebook. So what I did is I recorded that live, as I've been doing. Had some issues with the actual recording on my laptop. So if you want to go check out that mailbag, there's a lot of great questions in there from some of our normal question people, and some new people as well. That is up on Fear the Sword's Facebook page, facebook.com/fearthesword. It will be up on fearthesword.com as well as a video. I know that's not ideal. Working our way to maybe get it into the feed by the end of the week, but no guarantees there. I apologize, it's just a snafu. The file got wrecked before I realized it. I was kind of 3-4 minutes past and couldn't do anything about it. It was just unusable audio. My apologies. When we get back to the mailbag, we will have that figured out, and you will get back to having the mailbag and your questions answered. And this week, I may revisit some of those questions. I have them saved, so if I need to come back to them when we do the next mailbag, I certainly will do so. Just a quick note, there will not be a mailbag next week on September 4th, and that is Labor Day. There will be no podcast that day at all. I'm going to take that day off, going to take the three-day weekend right now while we get a little chance to have some sanity. We will have normal shows next week, likely four shows, at least three shows that week, and just as things happen, and maybe a Facebook Live somewhere in there as well, and all likely for the Sword, but we'll have a mailbag the following week on September 11th, so if you have questions you want to drop in that time, you can, as always, tweet at LockedOnCavs, sending questions to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. And there will be a post up on r/ClevelandCavs as well. So anything you submit between now and September 10th, when it's recorded for that Monday, September 11th mailbag, you can drop in questions there. And again, you can check out the mailbag. That was supposed to be yesterday's pod, and there was no pod. And on Facebook, fearthefacebooks.com/fearthesword. That's Fear the Sword Facebook page, and it'll be up as a post on Fear the Sword as well. It should be easily to find on the homepage. It'll be labeled Facebook Live Chat, whatever the teaser ends up being. But again, today's show is all about some news that happened yesterday. And we'll start with the big one. The Cavs, per Woj, in an article that dropped late Tuesday evening, have lowered their asking price from a Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, or Lakers pick to complete this trade that would send Kyrie to the Celtics and send Isaiah Crowder, Zizic, Nets pick to Cleveland. The Cavs no longer want that high price. They're looking for a late first-round pick or maybe some second-round picks as compensation. You still have Joe Varden from Cleveland.com saying the Cavs haven't asked for anything, so that keep that in mind here. But if the Cavs really are looking to get that lower asking price, I think that is the middle ground that makes sense for both teams, particularly because the Cavs were never going to get that top-shelf asset. I mean, they were brushed off when they asked for Brown and Tatum originally. But this is a situation where I think they can get something a little bit extra here, complete this deal, and move forward. Isaiah's hip is still a concern. I think that's worth noting. But in this report from Woj, which he also talked to Isaiah, and we'll get to him in a second, it's very clear that the Cavs are, if they're going to get anything, it's going to be something that has some value. I think it, particularly if they can get a late first, that would be big for them. It could be a trade chip for them. It could be just a way to retool, even if it's a late first-round pick, that's better than nothing, and then they're going to be in more control of their picks and abilities to trade picks than they have been in some time. I don't think they're going to go for, you know, next year's first round pick, and maybe there's protections on these things that make it convey as a second round pick, but they're probably going to get something here. And again, Thursday deadline, with the Wednesday today physical deadline to be completed, and then Thursday to be submitted and put through. So it's not done yet, but I think we're closer now than we were in some time, and that's I think a good thing for both teams. Additionally, in this article, Isaiah Thomas said he is not damaged and that he'll be back to the player he was. He did indicate that he'll miss some time, but he did seem confident that he'll be able to play. Now, mind you, that Thursday, again, is that deadline, so we're down to the wire here, but as Thomas told Woj, I am not damaged. I'll be back and I'll be the same player. He also said, I haven't had one doctor tell me that this injury is going to hurt my career. Surgery was not the best option in this case. I aggravated it in March when Karl-Anthony Towns fell on me. I kept playing on it and making it worse until I couldn't play anymore last season. He's referring to there when he couldn't play after game one of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavs and missed the last three games of that series. Thomas also said that he has been in consistent contact with the Cavs, and he doesn't know what they're exactly going to do, but he has been having some dialogue with them since he took his physical in Cleveland last week. In this article, he didn't comment on the severity of his injury, but really in super detail. He also didn't talk about how he was feeling emotionally after leaving Boston, but I think if you read between the lines here, you're seeing a motivated Isaiah, someone who wants to show that he is okay, and that that could be a good thing for the Cavs. And again, it's still unclear what the Cavs asked for. What it looks like we're heading towards a resolution here, and if Isaiah's fired up, that's likely a good thing for the Cavs, who really, really do need Isaiah to be something important for them this year in what could be LeBron James's walk year. Isaiah's hip really is the one factor here we don't, you know, just fully understand. I think it looks like he's going to miss some time. He hints at missing some time. How much is still very much up in the air right now? Is it going to be a month? Is it going to be just a few weeks? Is it going to be until December, January, March? The Cavs have had experience and with their star point guard missing a lot of time. Think about Kyrie breaks his, has that knee injury after the 2015 finals, doesn't come back until December or so, I think even later than that year. But I think you're looking at a situation where, like, maybe you can't bank on him hitting a game winner, like having Isaiah hit a game winner like Kyrie did, but you can make it work. It's not ideal. I mean, Derrick Rose and Felder and Calderon is your backup points as sort of the Larry David meme where he's just like picking between the two bad options, but it's whatever. You have LeBron, you can make it work in the regular season. It's not like they're gonna treat that seriously anyway, but we'll see where this goes. We'll see if this deal gets done. We'll see if Isaiah and Crowder and Zizic do pressers. I would guess Zizic won't, because he's Eurobasket starts Friday, so and he's playing for Croatia. A quick reminder that you can find the entire Locked On Network in one place by searching Locked On Network wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. In one feed, you'll get every team podcast, all 30, in one place. There's an audio boom as well. There's no better place to get the latest news on all 30 NBA teams, no matter what team you're a fan of or what team you just want to listen to on a certain day. It's how I stay up to date and make sure I prep for the team the Cavs are going to play next. So there's no better way, in my opinion, to check out and follow teams. It's just use this podcast, go watch the team as well. But these podcasts are going to do a great job of getting you primed for what you're going to be watching on the court there.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
And lastly, in some news today, Vegas has the Cavs as over-under at 53.5, which to me seems a little high. Unless they take the regular season seriously, and Thomas is healthy, I think that's important here, the under seems like the best bet. Boston, by the way, is the top projected team in the East, according to Vegas. And lastly, Cleveland lawyer Larry Nance has said that to WKYC's Ben Axelrod that the Cavs' future in Cleveland is in doubt after the Q renovation was killed earlier this week. And that's Fred Nance, not Larry Nance, not the former Cavs power forward who signed a place for Lakers. This is Cleveland attorney Fred Nance. So if you don't know, the Q transformation sort of died this week because the Cavs pulled their financial support and involvement from the plan to upgrade the Q. It would have extended the lease to 2034 from 2027. Would have got the Cavs in contention to host an All-Star game if they could have started renovations this fall. That wasn't going to happen because it got killed because of this referendum that the Ohio Supreme Court said had to happen. It tried to get pushed through by city leadership. So Nance told WKYC's Ben Axelrod, I think it has to put a big question mark on the future of the Cavs in Cleveland. Because while the deal would have extended the Cavs lease and we wouldn't have to deal with it until 2034, it's not clear what's going to happen in 2027, and owners don't wait until December 30th of that last year of their lease. They start making those plans years ahead of time. So what he's referring to there, again, is the Cavs' lease with the Q that runs through 2027 and could, again, would have been extended by 7 years if the renovations had occurred. This is still a decade out, so keep that in mind, but the language being used here is more negotiating and trying to aggressively pressure people to get what they want. Cleveland Mayor Frank Jackson and City Council President Kevin Kelly are both very vocal in saying this deal should have gone through. And I think, you know, you saw some local workers and stuff really protest this. And I think you had a lot of people kind of concerned that the public wasn't going to get a chance to vote on something, especially when it was never clear what exactly Dan Gilbert or the franchise was going to pay. The emissions tax on tickets was going to be the city's end of it. But were the Cavs going to pay anything more than rent? Were they actually going to contribute anything more extra towards this? That was never clear. And it was the deal were being very vague. And I think even in the press release they sent out when they announced they're pulling out, I think there was some very aggressive of wording in there, especially because they're not funding courts now and not sort of kind of fulfilling some of the goodwill promises that were attached to this. But this is not the end of this story. I think we're a long ways off from really having to seriously discuss the Cavs' exit in Cleveland. But I would note that this is language you're going to hear. This is an aggressive negotiation ploy to try to keep this issue alive. I do kind of get the vibe that with city leadership sort of being behind this and trying to push this through, even with some of the potential consequences of it, I think you will see it get done. It might not be when you'd expect them to get it done, but I think like there is reason to want to check this and vet this as best as possible and see why and how much the Cavs are actually going to pay beyond rent. And note, too, that Nance is a name that has a sort of a deep-rooted history in Cleveland sports history. He's someone who, you know, rose to fame in the 90s representing then-Mayor Michael White. And then when Art Modell left, he was someone who did a lot of legal work that kept the name and everything intact and helped bring football back to Cleveland in 1999. So he's someone who has a stake in a lot of this and has worked in this field. And he's also the guy who negotiated the Cavs currently. So we're going to see. I think he does kind of have more. He's less lawyerly than sort of politician in some ways, but we're going to hear a lot of this rhetoric. It wouldn't shock me if we hear something about this at Cavs Media Day from whether that's Dan Gilbert when he speaks to the media or not. And it wouldn't shock me either if LeBron gets asked about this. I'd be very curious to see what he has to say about this deal. But that's going to be it for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow with a deep dive into Isaiah Thomas's hip health, how it could impact the season, Ante Zizic, Eurobasket, and more with Trev Magnotti from the Step Back and FTS. He knows EuroLeague and Zizic and everything, Chetty Osman, better than anyone that I know. And because he's also an athletic trainer in real life, he'll give some impact and insight into Thomas's injury and what that can mean for the Cavs. Be sure to give him a follow at Illegal Screens. Give the pod a follow. Give 5-star rating and reviews as well. We really do appreciate those here. And I'd love to just keep getting more reviews and just help make the podcast as good as it can be. That is the best way to support the pod, is to go listen to it and then go give a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. But we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday. And we'll dive into more of this in the coming weeks. All of this here is going to be fleshed out more.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks. It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
But have a great Wednesday.